is God as silly as Santa Claus, or are atheists just being a bunch of Grinches? Let's take a closer look.
Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Council of Trent. Now, yesterday, which can give you clues to when I'm recording this episode, yesterday I did a show on Catholic Answers Live about arguments for and against the existence of God. So, great show. I had a lot of fun doing it. But I remember in the second hour, there was someone who called in. He was an atheist. I think it was Damien from San Francisco. But he called in and kind of referenced a trope, if you will, a common kind of argument atheists make about God that I really felt needed to be challenged. And he basically said that appealing to God as an explanation for the existence of the universe, or really as an explanation for anything, is no different than saying magic did it. It's just magic, and we're ignorantly throwing our hands up and appealing to ignorance. And he said, how is that different from, you know, Harry Potter? As if appealing to God to explain the existence and the meaning and purpose of the universe is no different than Harry Potter. And so I came back to him and I said, well, wait a minute. Why are you comparing God to Harry Potter? I said that that's pejorative, or that's prejudicing the discussion, because everybody knows that Harry Potter is a fictional character created by the British author J.K. Rowling. And I see this all the time when atheists compare God to, you know, why would I believe in God the same way I don't believe in unicorns or Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy? And it prejudices the discussion and makes it seem like that the theist, the believer in God, is asking them to believe in something just outrageous or unreasonable. And I think that that's an unfair thing to do and something that we should point out. So I said to this gentleman, I said, well, wait, why are you comparing God to Harry Potter as if something that obviously doesn't exist? Why can't God be like, I don't know, extraterrestrial life or an unknown element on the periodic table, something that is undiscovered? It might exist. We don't know yet. Instead of comparing God to something that we definitely know, God does not exist. And he tried to get out of that by saying, you know, well, we know there are elements. We know there's life on this earth. So we could extrapolate that maybe there's life out in the universe. He said, but there's no such thing as the supernatural. And that's begging the question, though. That's circular reasoning to assume that. How do you know there's no such thing as the supernatural, if there's nothing beyond nature? And I said to him, well, we know there's intellects and causes, right? So why can't we extrapolate that the ultimate cause of the universe is an intellect? That I'm not saying God is some kind of mythological, morally absurd, fantastic literary creation. I mean, a lot of atheists will say that he is, because they'll say, well, when you say God, I think about the God of the Old Testament. That's a different discussion. First, we have to figure out if there is a God, then we need to figure out what God is like. And so when I'm talking about God, I'm not talking about some kind of mythological creature. What I'm talking about is just the infinite act of being who is pure existence itself. God gives existence to the universe. God gives existence to all things, but he receives existence from nothing. Why? Because he just is existence. He just is being. He's infinite goodness. All perfections are found in God, the source of all being and life. That's it. God is just the ultimate explanation for everything. And when you think about who God is, or what does it mean for God to be the ultimate explanation of reality, the traditional attributes like omnipotence or being all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, logically flow from the arguments for the existence of God. Now, in this show, I'm not going to talk about the arguments and the attributes of God. There will be many occasions for that. But what I want to talk about is what you should do when atheists compare God to creatures or beings that are obviously non-existent, like Santa Claus, Harry Potter, the Tooth Fairy, Superman, Batman, things like that. Well, is Batman non-existent? Does Batman exist? I think I exist. I exist to serve justice. Oh, my goodness. Batman just hopped into the podcast, and oh, I turned around and he was just gone, you know, as he as he's wont to do. And by Batman, of course, I mean my esteemed colleague, Jimmy Akin, who knows everything and is one step ahead of everybody. A good shout out to him. So let's look at these comparisons that are made. Let's start with Santa Claus. People say, you know, I don't believe in God for the same reason I don't believe in Santa Claus. There's no reason to believe Santa Claus exists, so there's no reason to believe God exists. God is as silly as Santa Claus. But that is a bad argument for two reasons. Number one, God is not a being in the universe that we can detect empirically. God is not something we can find with a microscope or a telescope in the universe, because God is not made of anything. God's not made of matter or energy. God created all matter and energy. So God is just infinite existence itself. And since God made space and time, he exists beyond space and time. He controls it. He knows everything about it, but he's not in it. And if you're not in space and time, you can't be detected scientifically. Now, the traditional story about Santa Claus is that Santa does exist in space and time. He's got a factory at the North Pole with child laborers, eternal child laborers, Santa's elves, working on things, and reindeer that pull him around in a sleigh, and he drops down our chimney. So Santa Claus is something you can detect with science. God is not. It's two different things. Now, I remember reading Dan Barker is an atheist. He's a former pastor turned atheist. Dan and I had a debate back in 2012, God, supreme being or imaginary friend. I think in the debate, though, Dan said that God is not an imaginary friend. Take the word friend and take the R out. He's more of an imaginary fiend. So Dan is an interesting individual, and I do recommend watching the debate with him to see, number one, Dan really throwing a lot of interesting things at the wall to try to show God doesn't exist, and me putting up, I think, a fairly good defense for God, but I would say that is during my rookie days. And you know what's funny, though? 10, 15 years from now, these are going to be my rookie days. But it was a great debate, and I think people saw that I could answer Dan's arguments very well, and he was left with just emotional responses by the end of the debate. But I bring up Dan because in his book, Godless, he makes the Santa Claus comparison, but he says in there, well, fine, maybe there's a Santa who exists in a parallel dimension and he's invisible and he goes and does all these things. So he's just like God. So atheists might try to alter the Santa Claus or the Harry Potter or the Tooth Fairy analogies and say, well, I don't believe in these invisible interdimensional beings that do things. And so, because there's no evidence for them, so I don't believe in God. God is just as silly as an invisible interdimensional Santa traveling around in, you know, his fifth dimensional sleigh with mythical fifth dimensional reindeer and all this stuff. But even if you alter the Santa example and say, fine, I don't believe in these invisible interdimensional beings doing stuff, so I don't believe in God, it still doesn't show God is as silly as Santa Claus. And here's why. Number two, the reason, not only do we disbelieve Santa and God, the comparisons don't work because they're two different kinds of beings. God is being, Santa is a being. The reason they don't work is the reason adults don't believe in Santa Claus is not merely because. It is not merely because there is an absence of evidence for Santa. It's because there is positive evidence that Santa does not exist. Because if Santa existed, the world would be very different. Even if he were an invisible interdimensional being, here's how it would be different. I would not have to rush out on December 23rd or 24th, 24th would be the worst, to go out and buy Christmas presents that I forgot to get, because Santa Claus would magically come down the chimney and they would be there under the tree. If there were a Santa, I, as a parent, could, you know, I could take it easy because Santa will put the presents there. I don't have to worry about it. But guess what? If I don't go buy the presents, they won't be there Christmas morning. So that shows there's no Santa Claus. That shows it. I buy the presents, not him. Another reason, by the way, I'm not a fan of Santa Claus. Number one, I don't think it's good to lie to children. Well, you shouldn't lie to people, especially to children, about the foundations of reality. Number two, it takes away credit from me. I'm the one who got the presents for everybody, not Santa. And number three, it gives kids the gimmies, gimme, 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 instead of the true meaning of Christmas. People will say, well, Santa's magical. No, God becoming man, being born in a humble manger so that he could grow up and atone for the sins of the world. That is, I don't want to use the word magic, that is awe-inspiring, that's wonderful. not a big red guy who commits breaking and entering to give you presents. So where was I going with that? What I'm going with here is that if Santa existed, the world would be really different. It's not different. Therefore, there is no Santa Claus. If you're going to make a similar argument for God, you'd have to say if there were a God, the world would be really, really different. And now atheists will try to make those arguments, and I'll address them in a future episode. They'll say, well, if there were a God, all my prayers would be answered, everybody would believe in God, and nobody would ever get mad, upset, there'd be no pain and suffering. So at least we can move the discussion away from merely saying God is like Santa, case closed, to, well, wait a minute, you're saying that God doesn't exist because the world doesn't look like how you think it should look? If God was running the show, well, how do you know that if God exists, the world should look this way? Now, suddenly, you're carrying the burden of proof. If you're saying God does not exist because the world would look really different, you have to prove the world would look different if there were a God. And you got to also answer the arguments people like myself and others make about God. Before you can say God does not exist, you got to answer the arguments for the existence of God. So one point when Santa or mythical creatures are compared to God, say, look, the reason we disbelieve in Santa and mythical creatures is not because of lack of evidence, is that we have good evidence they don't exist. The world would be different if they did exist. We've seen the individuals who created these things. We know with Santa, with all of us, we made up that story. Harry Potter, we know we met the author who made up that story. But God is not a secret cabal or a large conspiracy among adults to invent a story. The analogy breaks down. In fact, let me read you an excerpt from a book called Contemporary Perspectives on Religious Epistemology. So this is a book. It's an anthology of different views about how we know religious truths. And Scott Shalkowski is a philosopher. He has an article in there called Atheological Apologetics. And he talks about atheological apologetics is the defense of atheology, which is a fancy word for atheistic understandings of theology and God. So Shalkowski in this work is critiquing the arguments atheists make, and he addresses the Santa Claus argument. This is what he writes. The reason adults disbelieve in Santa Claus is not simply that there is no good reason to think that he exists, but because, here's the important part, we have good reason to think he does not. At some point in our lives, we found that those who let us in on the myth were conscious of the fact that they were telling us a falsehood. But this is not the situation with belief in God for most atheists. Atheists do come to hold the belief that theism is false and that there is some deception present in religious teaching and practice, but, and here's another important part, in the vast majority of cases, this is not because someone like a parent confesses deceiving them at an early age, nor do atheists typically begin to participate in the production of phenomena that is allegedly explained by the activity of God. So think about this. If someone says, God is just like Santa Claus, what I'd say to them is, really, belief in God is like belief in Santa? So if somebody tells their kid that God exists, do they know that's a lie? Just like they know Santa's a lie and they think it's magical? Most atheists will agree, no, it's not the same, that the people who tell their children God exists, they earnestly really think, they sincerely think God exists. Whereas if you tell your kid Santa exists, you know it's just kind of a made-up story. So the analogy breaks down there. Or if you say God is like Santa Claus, well, even many people who, you know, you're told as a kid Santa doesn't exist, you grow up, and then you end up telling your kids Santa exists. But how many atheists do you know become atheists at an early age and then deceive their children into thinking God exists and then say later when they're older, oh, by the way, there is no God? They just don't do that. They either say there is a God or isn't a God. So to re-summarize here the discussion we're having, when atheists compare God to Santa Claus, when they compare God to mythical creatures, to literary characters like Harry Potter, press them on that and say, how do you know that God does not exist, just as we know Santa or Harry Potter does not exist? How do you know God is not like aliens in the universe who maybe they exist, maybe they don't? or God is not like an undiscovered part of the periodic table. I'm not saying God is like those creatures in the universe. What I'm saying is, when an atheist makes these comparisons between God and imaginary creatures, ask him to prove, you know, you could say God is either undiscovered but reasonable, or God is imaginary because he's unreasonable. So if you're just saying there's no evidence for God, he could easily be undiscovered and reasonable. You got to put forward another reason to think God is unreasonable or he's imaginary, that we're not waiting to discover him. We know he doesn't exist. And so if the atheist is making that claim, they carry the burden of proof and they need to shoulder that burden of proof. Before we end, though, I'd like to play a clip here of a common rejoinder people will have when it comes up to saying, you know, the burden of proof between God, this, or, you know, things like that. It's called Russell's Teapot, and it comes from the 20th century philosopher and atheist Bertrand Russell. And Sam Harris summarizes it really well here when it comes to proving there is no God. So this is atheist Sam Harris talking about Russell's Teapot.
So this is Russell's Teapot argument. Can you prove that there's not a China teapot circling the sun between Mars and Earth? No, you can't prove that. But is there any reason to think that such a teapot exists? No. And the burden of proof is, of course, on the one who asserts this seemingly outrageous truth claim.
Okay, so the idea here is, you ask the atheist, can you prove there's no God? He says, I don't have to prove there isn't a God, just like I don't have to prove that there's no China teapot orbiting the sun between Earth and Mars. It's just a silly idea. Here's the problem with Russell's teapot. We know about teapots on Earth, and from what we know about teapots, it is not in their nature to fly off into space and go around the sun. And for what we know about space agencies is that they don't put teapots in orbit around the sun. So what we know about teapots and their natures militates against the idea they would be orbiting around the sun. We have positive evidence teapots don't do that. But like my alien example earlier, I would ask an atheist, do you know there's no alien probe watching the Earth, or an alien probe orbiting the sun between Earth and Mars to keep tabs on our solar system, one that maybe has a cloaking device, or even if it's really small, I don't think scientists would detect it if it was small, or it might have some kind of cloaking device on it or a shield that keeps us from seeing it, which we could imagine aliens coming up with that technology, just as we've come up with radar deflecting stealth technology for our own aircraft. And I'd say to them, is that a silly idea? I don't think they would say it's a silly idea. It could be out there. They might say, I don't believe it's there. I say, well, that's fine. But it's not a silly idea. It's a live option. And so someone who says it's there, yeah, they have a burden of proof. But you can't just casually or, you know, scoff at the idea and dismiss it as silly. It's something to really consider and see if there is evidence for it. Much the same for God. God is more like that invisible alien probe than a China teapot. The China teapot orbiting the sun, well, that's silly. That's not what teapots do. Invisible alien probes? I don't know. Maybe. It could be out there. Is there evidence for it? I don't think so, but let's look. I would just encourage you, when you talk to atheists, I mean, it's hard. It's a long journey to get someone to see that God exists. It's a lot to grapple with. But one of the first steps you'll want to make is this. Look, God is not a silly idea. God is not an imaginary idea. Believing in God is not on the face of it as unreasonable as believing in something like Santa Claus. God is more like these undiscovered things. Maybe God's there, maybe not. Why don't you have an open mind and see if God is there and look at the evidence that Christians and other theists have put forward? Just have an open mind on that and not prejudice the discussion by saying God is like Harry Potter. Because I would say it'd be unfair if Christians prejudiced the discussion of atheism and said, well, I'm not an atheist because I don't have a mental illness and think something can come from nothing. See, that would be mean. I wouldn't do that. And I would just ask our atheist friends not to prejudice the discussion in a similar way. We should have clear, persuasive, and friendly discussions with one another about what we believe and don't believe as we walk together to the truth. And I hope you'll continue to walk with me and listen with me on episodes of this podcast. It was a real treat to have you all with me today, and I look forward to sharing future episodes with you. Have a blessed day, all right?
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.